Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Adam Holland and Group Finance Director Will Wilkins of MPAC, a leading high-speed packaging and automation solutions group supplying the healthcare and food and beverage sectors. So welcome, gents.
Hi, Paul. Nice to see you.
Yeah, well, that's great. It's great to have you back on the show. There's been quite a lot of disruption, obviously, caused by the geopolitical uncertainty and the Trump trade tariffs, which has led to a number of large multinational capital goods and industrial companies pre-warning sort of difficulties in signing contracts. So maybe it'd be a good place to start there, Adam. I don't suppose you could just quickly take us through what MPAC have seen in the first half and also at the coalface in terms of client demand.
Absolutely. So let's deal with those in two sections. So let's talk about the first half first. Revenues in the first half of 2025 were in line with our expectations. We started with a record order book at the start of this year, and the acquired businesses that we bought during 2024 have performed really well. And we've also had the benefit of our kind of short cycle service business that also has been on track. Through the first half, and particularly during the second quarter of the year, we've seen the effect of these growing headwinds as a result of the US trade tariffs, and in particular, really, it's the growing uncertainties associated with those. Consumer confidence is fallen, and it's in some ways it's a little ironic because, you know, all the way through the first half of this year. And certainly when we talked back in April, we were seeing companies announcing huge investments in around the world, but particularly in the US, in domestic production, new factories to support US reshoring. We saw the demand on reducing operating costs and a push towards increasing automation. So enormous investments being announced by multiple companies, particularly in the US, many billions of dollars. Many of those statements have really been without a timescale on them, or they've been announced over many years. You know, over the next 5 years, we're going to invest X, which is great. But the reality on the ground is that what we've seen is original equipment order intake has slowed materially, particularly during quarter two, and particularly, but not uniquely, inside the US. You know, what we're seeing is that customers are increasingly deferring capital investments. They're cutting back on their spending. We're just not seeing capital projects being launched, new projects being launched by customers, particularly in the US. Even where the business case is attractive, those decisions are being pushed back into future months and future quarters. And the result is that our order book has fallen during the first half of the year. So whilst we started with a record order book at the start of this year, the order book is now lower. And our revenue coverage for the second half is lower than we started the year. So the result is, you know, we're looking at a more challenging second half to the year.
So just take as an example, if I was sort of like, I don't know, Haleon or a Unilever or Nestle or somebody like that, et cetera, and I'm deciding where I should actually put a new production line, And the ROI works, and I want to make sure, you know, get the capacity. Is it basically simply, I don't know, as a finance director or as a CEO, where it's going to be cheaper because of this, the uncertainty of the tariffs, and we might get sort of clarity soon, you know, hopefully on the 8th, but we, until that happens, is it really, it's basically that your clients don't know where best to put that new production line?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, that's it. And it's both sides of the business case on ROI. So, you know, what will the cost of the capital equipment be when it's procured from all the various countries across the world that our customers buy from as they bring together a new factory? You know, we might be focused on the MPAC world, but the reality is there are other supply chains supporting those new capital investments from many, many countries. So what will the tariffs be that will expose our customers to cost? They're changing and uncertain. And then probably more important than the cost side, in terms of revenue generation for customers, you know, what will the consumer demand be for that new product or that new line, once the line is up and running? And some of these investments take, you know, years to bring to fruition. You know, a significant capital project is unlikely to be less than 6 months, but many of them are 18 months, 2 years long. And what will demand be at that point? Well, I think probably most of our customers say it's less certain now than it was 6 months ago. And that's what they're dealing with. It's not an easy position for our customers to be in. And what we've seen is those decisions being deferred as they try and work through, you know, what does that mean for ROI?
Yeah. And you haven't seen any cancellations yet?
None. No cancellations as a result of tariffs at all, which is remarkable, really. Mm. And we continue to work really closely with our customers. Actually, probably even more broadly, Paul, what I would say is we haven't seen customers making a change in their decision about an existing capital project. You know, where they're going ahead, customers are finishing those projects. What they're not doing is starting new projects. And that is the challenge for us.
Yeah. And how long do you think that air pocket in demand is going to last for? I know that's a sort of a $64 million question that the investors would love to hear more broadly anyway. But are the clients giving any sort of indication, or is it still really that they don't know themselves?
Yeah. I mean, the answer is that customer by customer, those deferrals are made on a case-by-case basis, and they differ enormously. So some customers are pushing decisions back, you know, a month each time. You know, we'll make this decision in April. Well, we mean May. Well, maybe in June. Well, we'll look at it again in July. I absolutely understand that environment. It must be very difficult. We've had other customers who've made more widespread decisions. You know, we will simply not be investing in any new CapEx anywhere in the US for the rest of 2025. We will revisit every plan we have for 25 next year. Yeah. I understand that approach as well, and everything in between. I think what I would emphasize is that this has been predominantly in the US, you know, but not exclusively. Many of our customers are multinational customers, and they look at investments on a global basis. But the bulk of the effect has been original equipment in the US, and that appears to be where the biggest uncertainties are.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then just in response, how is the sort of like business deciding to sort of like right size its sort of capacity to meet that sort of like slower demand in the near term?
We've done a lot of the usual things that you would expect during the first half of this year already. You know, we've taken actions to improve operational efficiency, to improve the way that we deliver cash milestones, to renegotiate terms, reduce capital expenditures, eliminating discretionary cash spends, those kinds of things. All the normal things that you'd expect, but they're pretty tactical, really. What we're announcing this week is a move into a more strategic reaction. And if we take a step back and look at our operations in North America, you know, up until this point, we had two facilities within the US, the business in Cleveland and the business that we acquired in Boston last year. And what we've announced today is the consolidation of those two facilities into a single facility based in Boston, Massachusetts. You know, Boston will be our hub, and we'll move the switchback business from Cleveland to Boston. That is a significant change, you know, for us. It's a strategic change. At the end of that process, what we have is a much simpler operation in the US. We'll have a single parts dispatch warehouse, for example, for the whole of the US, based in Boston. And if you go back a few years ago, you know, that was spread into three sites, Boston, Cleveland, and north of the border in Canada. We've now got a single parts dispatch warehouse planned, you know, for Boston. It simplifies the way that customers can engage with us significantly. And it's a much more efficient structure, frankly, for us to operate from. When markets recover, they will. When markets recover, we'll be better placed to grow in the US at that point as a result of these changes. So, you know, it's not something we would have necessarily chosen to do at the start of this year. I'd much rather that all of our factories were full and we were, you know, overwhelmed with work. That's a great place to be, isn't it? But the reality is, we have this period where we have to look very seriously at our cost base and find strategic actions that make us better for the future. And that's what we've chosen to do.
No, I'm on tip of the hat. I mean, you've got to basically realize what the if the wind has changed and then react accordingly. That's all part and parcel of operating a successful and ultimately a growing business.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Will, if you could possibly take us through sort of the financial implications of that, maybe sort of like the sort of what's happened with the top line and sort of like the bottom line. I know you're probably still working through the details and they'll come out in the interims in September, but also sort of like indicatively sort of the top level cost savings from this exercise, etc.
Sure. Yes, Paul. So we expect revenue to be circa 20 to 25% lower this year than previous guidance. We're working through, as you'd expect, the recurring one-off cost savings and cash impact from the changes. And that'll be reflected in the notes that we issue between now and September when our half-year results come through. The other notable change that we'll see in guidance is in respect of net debt. The gap in order intake compared to the previous assumptions will result in net debt being higher than we'd previously expected. The full year net debt likely to be unchanged from the opening net debt. But again, we're working through those numbers, Paul, and more detail will be issued in analyst notes and then in our half year results announcement in September.
Okay. So with the net debt, it's likely to be similar to the outturn of December 2024, is that correct?
Similar, yes.
Similar. Okay, fine, good. And then some slightly better news on the pension side. I understand you've managed to sort of have a buyout or buy-in agreement with Aviva.
Yeah, hopefully not lost in the other updates from today, but a really important step for the group. We've reached a contractual position with Aviva for a buy-in, a bulk annuity of the pension scheme. You'll know, Paul, you followed the company for a long time. This has been many years in planning and working to get to this point. So it's really good news today that we have managed to reach an agreement and de-risk the pension scheme from further changes to liabilities to the company. It's likely to be perhaps as much as a two-year period between buy-in and getting to the full buyout. In that two-year period, we will continue to administer the scheme. And we will continue to make contributions, albeit to escrow. And then you'll see in the note that we are expecting the escrow funds to be returned to the company after that period when we get to buyout. Difficult to give an exact number on how much we return to the company at this stage. So we quoted a value in the RNS, an up-to value, and that we expect to see in early 2027. And in that time, we'll work towards achieving buyout in the most cost-effective manner possible with the trustees.
Yeah, and presumably in that two-year window, you've locked down the sort of the assets into sort of like, I don't know, long-term bonds such that it's that you've taken away the risk of inflation or interest rates and this sort of stuff. So what you've agreed with Aviva now is very unlikely to change.
It will change. It's fixed now. What's open is the cost of getting there, and there's still a lot of work to do with the trustees and with advisors. But in terms of liabilities, yes, it's locked down.
Fantastic. Okay, brilliant. Well, just, any sort of closing remarks, Adam? Obviously, you know, a difficult period at the moment, but it's an external factor that unfortunately everybody in the world is having to deal with. So what's the sort of key messages for investors?
Yeah, look, I think you phrased it really well. It's an external factor here. We didn't forecast it, but we don't choose our environment. We don't choose our environment. What we can choose is how we respond to the environment. And what we've chosen to do is to respond by simplifying our operations significantly in the US. We're going to position ourselves better for growth in the future when markets recover. And that's where we are.
Yeah. And there might be some other levers you could pull later on if you need to, I guess. When you
Yeah.
look.
Will, myself and the board, we continue to look at every operational action that we take and areas that we can drive efficiency. So we're going to continue to do that. Absolutely. This is setting a direction of travel to try and simplify our operations and make ourselves easier to do business with for our customers. And markets will recover, Paul. This is we understand exactly where we are. Markets will recover.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much, gents, and good luck with the continued hard work, and look forward in touching base in September for the interims.
Very good. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.